podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 15, follow along as I read. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for those shepherds so very long ago who represented mankind as they stood and gazed at the baby, the Messiah, the Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, it's not every day that a shepherd comes face to face with heaven. For that matter, it's not every day that anybody comes face to face with heaven. But, you know, it can be quiet out there in the fields. It can be dark. It can be lonely and cold. And herding sheep is a job for the uneducated, the outcasts of society. The only time the shepherds come into town is when they need supplies or when they have to sell some sheep or buy some sheep. Most days they just spend in the wilderness looking for patches of grass where their sheep can feed and become fat, because these particular sheep were special sheep. Outside of Jerusalem and in the town of Bethlehem, they were raising sheep to be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem. So it was the job of these shepherds day in and day out to watch with their weary eyes the sheep, to feed them, to fend off the predators. And there's nothing glamorous about a life like that. It's tedious, and it's done around an unforgiving terrain, a wilderness, a place where there's not much forgiveness. The only religious contact that a shepherd would have is the stories that they would tell around the fire, the stars that would glow all around them at night, and then when they brought their sheep to the temple to be sold in Jerusalem, they knew where those sheep were headed. But one night, for a select group of Bethlehem shepherds, the skies opened for them, and heaven revealed itself to them. And the angels proclaimed to them that a baby had been born. Now, we all know that smart sheep don't ask questions, right? They just follow their shepherd. And also, smart shepherds don't ask questions. They listen to the voices of angels. So these shepherds went to Bethlehem, as they were told, to a cattle stall, to a small room lit by a candle, to a feeding trough, to a newborn infant baby. And as they looked at this baby, it caused them to wonder, and their lives changed forever. And this was an encounter that they would never forget. It would last with them throughout their lives, and in fact, throughout eternity and throughout the ages. You know, and I wish Luke would tell us the rest of the story. What happened to these shepherds after they met Jesus? I mean, did they become evangelists and begin to tour the countryside? Did they become a gospel quartet, you know, the four shepherds, and sing all over Israel? Or did they just go back to their sheep? Just right back to the same old lifestyle that they had? Now, the only clues we have from Luke are the descriptions of how people who were involved in this event reacted, what they felt. And we have that here in the Gospel of Luke. Luke just doesn't give us the facts. He tells us some of the emotional story behind what was taking place. He tells us how people felt. So what was it like to experience that first Christmas? What was it like to hear the angels in heaven? What was it like to see the baby? What was it like to suddenly recognize in your heart of hearts who this child is that you're looking into the face of God himself? Well, we have some clues here in Luke chapter 2. For example, in verse 17, it says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed." So we have this word amazed, which has also been translated in some of your Bibles as marveled or wondered. Everybody who heard about it had a reaction. They said, could this thing that the shepherds are telling us about this baby, could this all be true? When shepherds tell you that they saw angels and that the baby lying in the manger is the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied to come, the Son of God, it makes you wonder. Some questions that people have asked about Jesus over the centuries have been questions like this about those angels. I wonder what they'd been drinking out there in the fields that night. You know, where's the closest psych ward to the stable in Bethlehem so we can admit these characters? What if they're telling the truth? What if this is all true? What does it mean? Well, you know, Jesus causes people to be amazed, to wonder, to marvel, even today, to be impressed. We see this throughout the scriptures, by the way. We won't turn to these scriptures this morning, but Luke tells us a number of occasions using the same word, amazed, how people reacted to Jesus. For example, Joseph and Mary were amazed by the knowledge that Jesus had and by the prophecies that were told about Jesus. The hometown folks in Nazareth, after hearing Jesus preach and teach, were amazed at the authority with which he spoke. As Jesus stood upon the deck of a boat and said, "Peace be still," and the waves of a storm went down to a sea of glass, the disciples were amazed at who Jesus must be. When Jesus exorcised demons from demon-possessed people, those who were in attendance at those meetings were amazed, according to Luke. When Jesus sat down with his disciples to eat and decided not to wash his hands in the way that the Pharisees washed their hands ceremoniously, the Pharisees were amazed. Who does this man think that he is? When the Pharisees asked Jesus a trick question about who a coin should go to, God or Caesar, Jesus looked at the coin and said, "Well, whose picture's on there?" And they said, "Caesar." And he said, "Well, give to Caesar what's his, give to God what is his." And they were amazed at the skill of his teaching and his ability to elude their trap. Peter, at the time of the resurrection, when he saw Jesus alive with his own eyes, Peter, according to Luke, was amazed. The same word. The disciples, as they sat with Jesus at breakfast, after he had been risen from the grave, they were amazed when they discovered who he was. So the shepherds told people what they had seen here early on. Luke uses this word. The people who heard the story, the shepherds themselves, everyone who was there, was simply amazed. They marveled at Jesus. And this same amazement would continue throughout his life. Well, what else do we see about the way people felt that first Christmas? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 19. "But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart." You know, Luke says that the shepherds told Mary, here's what we saw. When we were in the fields, angels, they spoke to us and they said that God was to be glorified because this baby was God's son and was born and was laid in a manger. And we come in here and here you are with the baby in a manger just like we were told. Isn't that incredible? And Mary sits back and says, "All of my hopes and my dreams and all of my doubts are now confirmed. They're laid to rest. My doubts are laid to rest." See, when Mary and Joseph were heading down to Bethlehem, I'm sure Mary had some questions like, you know, maybe I dreamed this whole thing up. But maybe God really hasn't told me that this baby is his child. Maybe Joseph's dream, you know, he had a bad falafel that night. I don't know. Maybe something is out of whack here. But the baby is born, they're sitting in the manger, and strangers come in and say, guess what? We just saw angels. I'm sure Mary and Joseph said, you know what? Join the club. We've seen angels too. And everybody stared at that baby and said, he must be who the angel said he is. And so we're told that she pondered these things. The word ponder in the Greek language that is used here actually means to throw things together. It's as if all of these thoughts are inside of Mary and they're banging into one another and colliding and intersecting, and she's thinking things through. Have you ever had a day like that where you had so many thoughts welled up inside of your head that they're all just pounding around and bouncing off each other and you can't make sense of anything, but suddenly, as you're pondering, all of the thoughts are thrown together and it makes sense? That's what it did for Mary when the shepherds came and visited and told their story. Well, there's one more description about how the people felt that day. And it comes from the angels, or the shepherds, as they were leaving the place. We're told in verse 20 that the shepherds returned. They went back to their fields. But as they were doing so, they were glorifying and praising God. And the word glorify in the text here is the word doxazo in the Greek, from which we get our word doxology. That's that song that we sing at church every now and then that begins with praise God from whom all blessings flow. This is what they were doing. They were praising God. They were singing a doxology. They were glorifying and magnifying him. The word praise that's used here means to recommend, to extol, to sing praises. You know, if we were to put all of these thoughts together, to glorify and to praise, what they were doing is they were making a huge, hairy deal about the baby that they had seen. They could not stop talking about him. They told everybody they saw about him. Perhaps they were writing songs and singing songs as shepherds were prone to do during their hours in the wilderness. But that's all they could think about. It's all they could talk about was Jesus. They were glorifying and they were praising him. Sometimes the urge that we have to glorify and to praise God gets used to promote things that don't deserve glory and praise. You see, God has created us with this innate desire and need to glorify and to praise. He built that into our DNA. That you as a human being, when you were born, you were given this desire to glorify and praise. Unfortunately, we as human beings tend to take that desire and to put it in the wrong place. We promote people like Justin Bieber or Tim Tebow because we have this desire to glorify and to praise. And sometimes this urge to glorify and to praise, it spawns things like viral videos, you know? We pass these things around and say, wow, you got to see this. Man, do you see this little boy and he's biting his mother's finger and they're saying, it's hilarious, you got to see it. It's 5 stars. And we pass these videos around as if it's the next great thing and you have to see it and it's hilarious. And sometimes we position ourselves to be the ones who receive the praise and the glory. And in the end, that's what we want for ourselves. You know, these shepherds reserved their glory and their praise after seeing that baby. All of their glory and their praise was funneled into God alone. Suddenly, nothing else in the world seemed significant except for the fact that this baby had been born and had come into their lives. So why didn't the shepherds go back, get a lamb, bring it to Jerusalem, and sacrifice it? You know, you always wonder that. They had a bunch of lambs to choose from. They could have gone back to the flock, chosen the best lamb that they had, and sacrificed it. We could have had that here in the story. As it turns out, Scripture tells us that God prefers the praise of our hearts and our mouths to the sacrifice of animals. Listen to what it says in Psalm chapter 50. Starting with verse 13, God says, do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. What God loves the most is when we come to him with a sincere heart, full of faith and wonder and marveling and amazement and pondering and glorifying and praise. And when we bring that heart before him, that's what he prefers. So you put it all together this Christmas morning, and what Jesus inspires for us is amazement, pondering, meditation, thinking things through, glorying in him, magnifying him, raising him to the level that he deserves, and praising his name. So are you done exchanging gifts this year? Have you gotten it all done? Or are you sitting through this service waiting because you know you're going to get home and there's still some presents left to open, right? I think that's the case with our family. We haven't opened one present under the tree. We're ready, right? When I was young, and some of you are right there along with me, it was all about me. You know, Christmas morning was about me. It was about looking for the present under the tree that had my name written on it. That's what it was. And if we were to be honest, most of us would say that it's true of us as well. When's it my turn to open my present, right? Well, there was a time when I was with my family, you know, all the extended family, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, everybody was there. And the present, this big present came out from under the tree and had the name Jack on it. It was given to me, laid in my lap. I was excited. I tore it open. I took the top off and I pulled out this huge sweater. Now, I was about 5, 6 years old, and here I am holding this huge sweater. And I knew something was wrong. And that's when one of my aunts gasped. And she said, "No, that's not for that Jack. That's for the other Jack." You see, I had an Uncle Jack also. And I'm glad I didn't say what I was thinking, even at 5 or 6 years old. But the sweater was then transferred to him. But as I got older, I began to recognize something. It's less about me, and it's more about the giving of the gift. You know, as we get older, we could care less about what kind of gifts we get. We got everything we need, really. And what we don't need, you know, we could save up and purchase for ourselves. It's about buying a gift for someone else and hoping that it's going to be something that will impress them, that'll knock their socks off. You know, we just want to give them the gift and then sit back and enjoy watching them open that gift. We get our video camcorders, whatever you call them things out. We take videotapes, we take pictures. We want to capture that moment where they open the present and go, "Wow." Speaking of viral videos, Conan O'Brien, the late night talk show host, recently played a trick on a bunch of kids all over the country. See, he asked parents to give strange gifts to their children and then to videotape it, and then to send those videotapes into him so that he could splice them together and put together a funny video. And he did that, but you should see the looks on the faces of kids as they open up a can of beans, all wrapped nicely, or a sausage link on Christmas morning. And they all say, "Mom, what is this?" And they say, "What, you don't like a can of beans? Is that not good enough for you?" And then, of course, there's the other side of the spectrum. And years ago, who knows how long ago, there was a little boy who opened a Nintendo set, and he just freaked out, and he screamed, and he jumped up and down. And the reaction is preserved on YouTube. It has the greatest amount of hits of just about any video out there. Just a boy excited about his Nintendo and his little sister who copies him throughout the whole tirade. How do we react to the gift that God has given to us? That's the question. See, God has wrapped up this wonderful gift for us in the person of Jesus Christ, a gift that cannot be equaled. And on that first Christmas, they were amazed and they pondered and they thought about, what does this mean for me? How will this change my life? And they left glorifying and praising God. And the question is, God is waiting. As you unwrap the present of Jesus Christ in your life, he is waiting to see what your reaction will be. So what is it? Is there any amazement left for Jesus? Do we still marvel about what he has done in our world? Do we glorify him and praise him with every word that we speak and every step that we take in this world, is that the most incredible gift that we have ever received? What is your reaction to that great gift this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We confess to you, Lord, that we become enamored with the things of this world. Father, there are so many things and so many people, so many opportunities, so many gifts of this world that compete for our attention. And Father, we get sucked into them. But Lord, the greatest gift that we've ever received was a baby born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And Father, that baby went to the cross, having lived a perfect life, not deserving the cross, but taking our penalty, our punishment on himself. And he died there, gave his life, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins, so that we could have a relationship with you. And then he rose again from the dead, securing eternity for all who believe. Father, thank you for that gift this morning. Lord, we could never be amazed enough. We could never glorify and praise you enough. A lifetime of Sundays is not enough to express how much we love you and thank you for Jesus. Father, our entire lives we surrender to you because of what you've done for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.